بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لتركبن طبقا عن طبق. The style of this life, this world, is not something that is stationary and something that is not changing. It's always changing. It's not stagnant, it's not stationary, it's not at the same condition and the state. From your very birth, it's a drop, from a drop to a congealed clot of blood, then to a morsel of flesh, then from one stage to the other stage. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Then you come out as a child, helpless, useless. Slowly, gradually, Allah Ta'ala allows you to escalate. Then you come, you're fully formed, and you come into this world. Then there are certain procedures, certain adab, naming of the child, shaving the hair, doing the aqiqah, giving out sadaqah, doing the khatna of the child if he's a boy. Then the child moves up, progresses in age, comes to the age of 7. Then before he could reach the age of 7, you tutored him, you taught him, you made him understand what is right, what is left, what is paki, what is napaki. Teach him about namaz, then you teach him all the prerequisites of namaz, wuzu, taharat, toilet, how to clean himself, how to visit the toilet. Then when he's come to the age of 7, then you instruct him in namaz. So you see, he's not left stationary, stagnated, moving all the time. And Allah Ta'ala wants it that you move this child accordingly, according to the age. You will not deprive him of his recreation, but you will not just assign him and resign him to recreation. Life is about what? Just playing. So you will be considerate towards him because of his age, allow him his play, allow him some recreation, etc. أَرْسِلُهُ مَعَنَا غَدَيْ يَرْطَعْ وَيَلْعَبْ. Play a little bit, understand, see things. You're still too tender that you teach him much, much more serious things. But not to present these things before the child is to put the child into a dream world. Nothing now. It's just play and enjoyment. So that first formative years, 1-2 years of his beginning, you left him idle. You didn't teach him much about the akhirat, about hereafter. But after that, when he's progressed 3, 4, 5 years of age, he's beginning to see things, he's beginning to identify. So now you will gradually move him upwards, come to the age of 7, and you teach him what is sawab. And if he doesn't do things rightly, then you'll show him the consequence. You have to correct him. Then, as he's reached the age of 10, now you will correct him again. He's going to another level. See, one level when he was born, another level when he was 7, then when he's 10, it's another level. So when he's at the age of 10 now, you will treat him differently. Now you will instruct him about namaz. If he doesn't listen, you're going to beat him, discipline him, correct him. Then it's an age where you will teach him about his maturity. But now it's possible that you become mature. It's a girl, she can become mature at that age. Boy, he's near to the maturity. So now you will not let two children sleep under the same covering, because some biological changes can take place, and you don't know when those changes can take place. So you will not allow them to be covered under one sheet. So you will separate them from the sheet. They can be sleeping in the same bed, but not on the same blanket or under the same sheet. So now you will teach him even more and make him more responsible. He's going to miss out his namaz, then you'll be a little bit firm with him, you'll be strict with him. So you don't treat him as a child any longer. You don't want to whack him, but just gently correct him. Beat him, make him afraid, and let him start off with his namazes. Then when he's come up to the age of 14, 15, now you have to make him understand at this age that now he's responsible. The good you're going to be doing, you're going to be credited for it. Malaika are going to be recording. And if you're going to be doing any wrong, then I can't stand responsible for you. You need to be responsible for yourself. So you'll have malaika that are recording your evil, you have malaika that will be recording your good. So you see, man is not left at one level. He's escalating all the time. And Allah Ta'ala wants him to progress, he wants him to escalate. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. So he's given him all the faculties. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. Give you eyes, ears, to understand, to see things properly, correctly. So that you can then, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. After you've got the intelligence, etc., then you can make out what is right, what is wrong. But you don't have that level of understanding and reasoning, how are you going to move? Now, there's one thing that puts everything in place. You want anything to work in place, want anything to work correctly, systematically. There's one thing that is required. And the thing that is required is adab, mannerism, the right type of mannerisms. And this mannerisms and adab is such an important thing that minus the mannerisms and values, a big institute will just collapse and fall. You've got a small shop, if there is no discipline in the shop, will it progress? You've got 5 staff in the shop, but you've got no system. Will that shop continue? So you need to have some system in place. You're going to come at this time, you're going to go at this time, these are going to be your duties, this is going to be your salary, and this is how you're going to talk to the clientele, right? This is how you're going to order, this is how you're going to sell. So you should run the whole thing with the staff of yours. So you assign to him his duty, you give him his work description, you show him exactly how he must do it, the times that he must come in, the times that he must leave, you show him what he's going to get at the end of that period. So the whole thing is run with him. But now say, for example, the child has got, the staff of yours got no discipline, comes when he wants, goes when he wants, sells the commodity as he wants, at the price that he wants. I ask you, the shop will it run? Can't work. In this whole design, Allah has shown us that there must be some system. In the design of the entire universe is a system. The sun has to come out from the east, set in the west, has to take so much of time to do its rotation. Right? And it's going to be rotating in such a way that it's going to bring about the seasons. This is the time that it will do this. This is the time it will bring about a season. Right? So it's got a set routine. And do you see it moving away, shifting away from that routine? Allah Pak has locked it in into that routine, it will move on to that same style. Say for example, the sun feels now, enough is enough now, I've done for thousands of years, now I must relax, go for a picnic. I'll take a break today, and tomorrow I'll start off again. Or, the summer vacation is coming, everybody's chilling out, so I must also go for a holiday. What will happen to the world? So, that thing has to follow the system. See, adab, procedure, values, mannerisms. Allah has created some mannerisms for that sun. It must stick to that mannerism. If it doesn't, the whole system will collapse. Then he's created a system for the skies and for the clouds, that this is how you're going to rain, at this place, at this measure, at this quantity. And now cloud, you're going to move to this place here. This is how much you're going to rain, this is the quantity, and this is the time that you're going to rain. So everything is chalked out, everything is laid out for the cloud, right? Then the earth also has got instruction. Earth, this is how you're going to grow, this is how you're going to rear your plants, this is how it's going to work out. So the earth is doing its work, the clouds are doing their work, the sun is doing its work, the winds are doing their work, and if they ever think of rebelling and striking, what will happen? So, for the earth to operate correctly, then you need a system. And for anything, for a small business, you need a system. And every person, every individual that is connected to the system needs to respect the system. If you don't respect the system, it's going to go well. The shop is going to be respected. That operation is going to be respected. It's going to go well. But say now, if you know, I don't need to respect the system. I can do my own thing. For a madrasa, you got a class now. And for that education to go well, every student that is in that class needs to respect the system. I must come at this time, leave at this time. This is what I need to do. This one I need to avoid, right? But the child feels, now I can pull into the class when I want, I can leave when I want, and I can do what I want, I can talk, I can eat, I can smoke. What's wrong? Smoking is not banned in South Africa, so what's wrong if I smoke in the class? If the child thinks of behaving that way, will the class operate? Can't operate. If all the children feel, you know, too much of teaching, they all go on a strike. All go on strike. If the taxis can go on a strike, people living in the shacks, they can go on a strike. The drivers, truck drivers, they can go on a strike. So why can't we go on a strike? See, so every person, for every system to work, you need to have the respect for the system. Respect for the system will take it right. Everybody will enjoy, and the outcome of it, the natija, the result of it, will go well. But you don't respect it, and you want things to go right, then it's madness. It doesn't work out. So in the system, every person needs to know his place, find his place, and thereafter execute his duty. This is my place, this is my duty, and this is how I need to work. Right? And they respect you for it. If you want to follow that system, then they'll respect you for it. You're going anywhere, and there's a system in you, there's some order, there's some system in you, so they will respect it. And you break away from the system, then you have no value, and nor will anybody respect you. Your respect is gone, and nor do you have any value. There's no value for you. Like I say, the son doesn't do his duty, will you respect the thing? Will you value the thing? Coming when it wants, it leaves when it wants, will you respect the thing? So you respect it because it is carrying out its duties. Cattle are carrying out their duties. They got a duty, right? They need to eat well so that they are fattened and they can be used as for human consumption. Milk, flesh, etc. to be used. But they say, no, we don't have to graze. We'll just enjoy ourselves. Park, sit down, don't eat. They all go on strike. So dunya ka nizam chalega. Not going to work. So for the whole system of the world to work, operate, one word that is required is respect. This one word. We need to respect. The more you will respect, the more you will find your place, the more you will find your goal, the more you will find an understanding of what you're doing. In a marital home, if there is some type of respect, then that thing will go well. Just one home. Marital home, right? The husband knows his work, the wife knows his work. Now, both are moving very well. But the wife says, for 1 year I'm going to strike, no work. I ask you, can that home operate? Well, the husband says, no, it works enough now, for 10 years I'm not going to work at all. It's going to park in the house. Can that home operate? Can't operate. So, we need to have the system and we need to respect the system. The husband will respect the wife because of what she's doing, and the wife will respect the husband because of what he's doing. Now you've got a beautiful system. The outcome of this whole house will be nice. Children will benefit, the house will benefit, the husband will benefit, and all got a direction. Everybody is moving smoothly. So to get anything working, what one word that is required is respect. And the effort of the enemies of Allah Ta'ala is to break system. Don't have any system. But man, you are equal to woman. Woman, you are equal to man. Now, what is the plan? What is the idea? To break the system. Man, not only do you have the right to go to the mall, woman, you must also come to the mall. Both of you must work together. Both of you must work together and come to the shop, right? Come to the shop, come to the business. Now you want the thing to work. So when you took out the wife out of the home, and she began to come and help you in the shop, in the business, so what happens now? Immediately, the children get neglected. When the children get neglected now, they come up of age, now they're rebelling, they're not listening to you, and you want to swear them, you want to curse them, but aren't you also a candidate for that curse? You pulled the wife out, took her into the business, and you kept her as your equal. Not as your equal, as your noker. One woman phoned up about 1-2 days ago. So she says that her husband wants me to work in the shop. So, alright, I worked. But he doesn't want to give me a salary. So now it's one family that we're all working together. So she must look after the house, she must look after the business, and she must not be remunerated after that. See, zulm upon zulm. The man says, I'm doing very well because I'm giving charity. In sadaqah, I'm doing very well. But what about this thing here? You broke the system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's system was, keep her at the house, you go in the shop, you go and generate. Right? But you took her out of the house. Then when you saw a failure in your children, now you're going to curse. But I ask you, do you have the heart to accept guilt? You didn't respect the system, so the whole system works against you. Had you respected the system, now the children and the whole system would have respected you. But you didn't respect the system, and now you want respect from them. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, fill his grave with Noor, he writes that if the husband and wife have to meet, right, and they didn't perform their namazes, 9 out of 10, the child will become disobedient. Now look at what is the reason. The reason is they didn't respect the system of Allah Ta'ala. Then when you fail to respect the system of Allah Ta'ala, the children will fail to respect you. You don't have respect for Allah Ta'ala. Right? When you don't have the respect for Allah Ta'ala, then why must Allah Ta'ala allow that system to work for you? You respected Allah Ta'ala, now the whole system works for you. Everything works for you. The hadith mentioned, there's a drought that spread out throughout the country, and one cloud comes in, and man that is walking past, he hears a voice that you move to this farm here, to this town, and to this person's land, and you go and rain on his land. So the cloud did as it was instructed, came and rained exactly at that spot. Man collected the water, did whatever he wanted, yet he did. The cloud dispersed. So now he saw something unusual, so he went and asked the farmer, "But what are you doing?" He said, "But why are you asking?" He said, "It's what I heard in the cloud. The cloud was instructed, you come to this town or to this village and you rain at a certain person's farm." So, well, my understanding with Allah Ta'ala is that 1/3 I use for myself, 1/3 I return back to the farm with the implements and the instruments, etc. And 1/3 I give out in charity. So when I am conforming with the plan of Allah Ta'ala, the plan is working for me. I am conforming, I am agreeing, so the whole plan is working for me. So the idea here, the whole plan here requires that you respect the system. And really what's the missing point in this day and time is, we lost the respect. Deen, we lost the respect. Dunya, we lost the respect. People, we lost the respect. For everything, we lost respect. Now how is it going to work? We're only chasing that figure, and we think that chasing the figure, when we got that thing will then turn into respect. Doesn't happen. One person sent his child to England to study, right? Studied all, specialized, making big money. So he's not showing respect to his father. Father got frustrated, very, very upset with him. Curse on you and whatever. You know, I did so much for you, and this is the return that I get. His father is saying to the child, that I did so much for you, and this is what I get in return. So now, he earns what he is worked for. What he worked for, he earns it. So the child says in answer to his father, reply to his father, "But it's no favor that you have done upon me. You met my mother for your own enjoyment, and I was the accident. You met my father for your own pleasure and enjoyment, and I was the accident. Had you not met my mother and caused the accident, then I would have been a burden. And you created a burden for yourself, and you created a burden for me as well. Because now I have to put up with the challenges of life because of your mistake. Because of your mistake, you have created a burden on yourself, You have created a burden on me that I was born by your accident. Now I have to take on all the burdens of life because of your accident. See that? Now minus adab, this is what happens to the human being. So this whole system, this is what they're working towards, to strip you off of every granule of respect. Move it out. That's logical. Now I ask you, how can that world ever operate if you only work on logic? Just on brains and logic, can it work? Can't work. Can never work. And unfortunately, we're getting sucked into that system. Same system. We're getting sucked into it. Now, that is why it is so important for us to conduct ta'lim in the homes. So when we're conducting ta'lim, what will happen? The immediate thing that will happen is this ta'lim, this kitab that we're doing, prepared by Buzughan Adin, right? People that were like drowning in the love of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sassam, gradually but surely, our minds and our brains will be shaped accordingly. We left out all these stupid things, right? And we started ta'lim, half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the evening, diligently we're doing it, we're thinking about what we read. Now, gradually what happens? Our minds take a different shape. We begin to see things differently. We reason differently. Look at some of our mashayikh and how they led their lives. I say this repeatedly. Our Buzughan Adin that went into financial constraints, it was because of their choice. It wasn't because they were put into a corner. No, it was because of the choice that they preferred a life of constraints. And there is reason behind that. There is a lot of wisdom why they preferred that life against a life of wealth. Right? Everybody likes wealth and prosperity. But for themselves and their families, what they enjoyed, what they liked, was a little bit of constraints. But Nabi Sallam himself, for his people, he liked that his expenses must just break off. He must just break off the expense. He mustn't have anything in excess. Now, you will love prosperity for your children. Every now and then, he must go for a holiday, he must spend like this, he must bust like this, right? So you will like this for your child. But what Nabi Sam liked for his people what he loved just enough, just you break even. Not too much that I can be proud, and not too less that I have to stretch my hands. Just enough. I can just break even. That's what he loved for his family. So if we are asking for more, then we need to understand that we are asking for some extra burden as well. We are asking for more, then we need to understand we are asking for an additional burden, because we are asking not for ourselves only, all the people that are under us, we are asking for them as well. We've got 10 people working for us, so we don't have just one person speaker, we have 10 people speaker. One man came here, ordinary person, so he tells me, I can't go for Hajj. I read my namaz, but I can't go for Hajj. Same pressure, why you can't go for Hajj? Old man, about 70 years of age. He says, you see, 10 people are working for me, and if I go for Hajj, what will happen to the rosy? See, everybody got their own style of thinking. 10 people are working for me, I'm going to go for Hajj, right? They're all employed by me. What's going to happen to the rosy? Will I be gunagar for that? Now you see how he's thinking, how he's reasoning. So I was just short of telling him, and if you die, the rest will happen, who's going to look after them? And number two, if they are not listening to you, they got a term for that, that you don't listen to your boss, right? They got a term for that. So, if they don't listen to you, and because of them not listening to you, you fire them, then what will happen? Who's look after your boss? Did you think about that? And do you fire your staff? Say, yeah, a lot of them, I fire them. Then? So for your convenience, you can't do Hajj because you feel now, if I'm going to go for Hajj, what's going to happen to them? But the time that you fire them, then, see what convenience, convenient Islam. So let's look at our page back into our history, our Buzughan, how they lived their lives. Right. So I say that poverty of this was of their own choice. Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, very great saintly person about 250 years ago from now. So, he comes in our silsila. Now, because he became a little bit more popular, People are calling him out here, come and call, come here, come here, have a program here, have a program here. Are you talking of the 250 years ago, for a program here, the next place, and the second place, and third place, now how long it takes to travel? So how much of time? Sometimes 1 month, 2 months goes, and he's not back home. So in the meanwhile at home, they're going through some financial constraints, right? And he's doing all his rounds. But then, the type of life that he chose for himself, his household also chose the same type of lifestyle. You can do this provided your household also prefers the type of lifestyle. If they cannot go through it, they don't want the type of lifestyle, then you go and do ordinary work and look after them, take care of them. But both of them are on the same age, please go and do the work. Don't worry about us. They are begging you, they are insisting that you must go and carry on. And it's a different thing altogether. Abu Bakr Siddiq had migrated to Medina Munawwara. So his father Abu Quhafa came to the house. He's asking his daughters, Asma, whoever it was, that, alright, your father is gone to Medina Munawwara. Did he leave anything behind for you? So now Asma is still young, maybe 9-10 years of age, that's her age, right? So the grandfather comes in and asks Asma, did your father leave back anything for you? What are you going to do now? So father didn't leave much. So she said, my father left enough for us. We are quite comfortable, quite easy. And what she did, she took some pebbles, over it she put some cloth. The grandfather was blind. So he just felt it, oh, there is something here, or then it's all right. So that means the father and the children were on the same page. It's not that they didn't want this, they wanted it for themselves. That they enjoyed that type of life. Of recent, maybe about 90-100 years ago, there was one saintly person. So his son was a lawyer, right? But now lawyers are different, right? Umar Jisab Rahmatullah gave one story, you know. He says it was a lunch break and the lawyers were all around and they were looking at some photo. So they're passing it around. One villager came around and he says, hey, what is this? Show it to me also. So they reluctantly they show it to him. So the villager commented, this child here can't become a lawyer. So now they all look startled. Hey, how can, well, what brings you to that conclusion? What brings you to that conclusion is that you see this child, you took his snap and his hands is in his pockets. Your hands are in different to other people's pockets. So this child can't become a lawyer. See, he is out to steal from you. Before we used to say that lawyers are liars, right? And they're stealing. But now the stealing and robbing is everybody's work. About 1-2 weeks ago, one woman phoned up. So this young woman, she's complaining that my mother tells me that when you're selling pies and all that, you know, so at the beginning for that thing to take on, you must increase the filling. Fill it up nicely, right? The casing less, right? And once it takes on, then decrease the filling and increase the casing. Now she's asking me, is this permissible for me or not? See the mentality. The mother, the child is right, the mother is going off. Well, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi, we heard of him, we talk about him as the Khalifatul Khamis. But how does his life start off? It starts off in this way, that Umar radiallahu anhu is going for his rounds after Isha. Became the Khalifa, he's controlling wealth. When he controls wealth, he feels now that comes with an added responsibility. I didn't have that wealth, I didn't have the control over that wealth, I don't have an added responsibility. Now I have so much of wealth, I've got an added responsibility. When I've got an added responsibility, I need to go see all these people that are not privileged, what's happening to them. After Isha is making his rounds, he comes across a house and the mother is having it with the child. The daughter is saying to the mother, you know, you are asking me to add water into the milk, but Amirul Mu'minin Umar radiallahu anhu stopped this. So the mother is saying to the child, see, you got 10 liters of milk, for example, you'll add 10 liters of water, make it 20 liters, and you'll make a double profit. If you're going to make 100 rands, then you'll make 200 rands. So the mother, the child is insisting, but the Amir al-Mu'minin has stopped this, has prohibited this, because this is deception. So the mother turns around and says, but the Amir al-Mu'minin is not here to watch. So the child says, well, if the Amir al-Mu'minin is not around, Allah Pak is around, Allah Pak is watching. But Umar radiallahu anhu heard this and he moved on, but he kept a mark on that home. And he sent a proposal for his son to that house. And this is how you get this Al-Khalifatul Khamis, the fifth Khalifa. If there was a fifth Khalifa, it would have been Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi. See, what you sow in the earth, that will come out, right? What you sow into your stomach, your body will produce the same. If you sow good, halal, pure, permissible, good will come out. And if it is haram, then haram will come out. And if it is doubtful, then doubtful will come out. Whatever you push into the stomach, whatever you put in, now you want the good to come out, can't come out. Because it's messed up, it's contaminated. When it's contaminated, then how can the good come out of it? So we're talking of Shah Abul Mu'ad Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullahi. He's coming around that time. So the both of them are on the same page, wife and the children, all on the same page. Father, everybody's on the same page. He's gone out with bayan, everything, whatever, whatever. And this side, they are on constraints. So a big buzruk is coming around into his town, and he heard now they're going through some constraints, they're going through some difficulty. So he took out some money from his pocket, for it, buy a bale of atta, whatever they use for bread, some atta, fill the containers, and he wrote on tawiz, and he said, "All right, take this tawiz, insert it into this thing here." Now, Shabul Ma'ali Sahib, after 2 months or so, he completed his round, and he came back. When he came back, and he sees, now, you know, usually we go through some spell of constraint, some difficulty. Sometimes there's food, sometimes there's no food. But now, it's a long period of time when that food is not getting depleted. It's continuing all the time. What's happened now? So he asked his wife, said, "No, one buzruk came, what happened?" This, she gave the whole story. So now look at it now. You know, they say, "Dar kafe jam-e shariat, war dar kafe sandal-e ishq." On the one hand, he's got the shariat, the law of the shariat to uphold. And the other hand, he's got the love of Allah Ta'ala. Now, to be able to merge the both and work together is not everybody's work. One side, he's got this buzruk and he's got his tawiz, etc., as a barakat. But one side, now his tawakkul is getting shaken up. His relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Now, to merge the both, to respect the both, how must he do it? So, when a person has gone through this, he'll understand that I must respect my Shaykh as well. And I must respect the law of Allah Ta'ala as well. The law of Allah Ta'ala, I keep it as supreme. My Shaykh, he is a means. Like the father is the means. So I respect my father as well. But obviously Allah Ta'ala is Allah Ta'ala. So he asked his wife, "Just bring a tawiz." So she pulls out a tawiz. So he says to his wife, "You see, this tawiz is not supposed to be for the atta. It's supposed to be for my head. You know, it's the tawiz of a buzruk, of my Shaykh. That is supposed to be going on my turban." So he fastened it, out of respect. And then what he did after that, that atta he gave it out in charity, finished. Now he's rejoicing. The wife is rejoicing, now at least we're going through some difficulty. We're talking about that lawyer, right? So the more Gangwar Hamza comes to that house, and he sees, hey, there's constraints here, but the children are rejoicing. Today, we are the mehman, we are guests. We are guests of Allah Ta'ala today. What they're rejoicing for, we are the guests of Allah Ta'ala. So, why is sitting there, is wondering now, is the lawyer and then the children are rejoicing at, but the lawyer's father was a buzruk. Then he discovered that these constraints today in the home, and the children are rejoicing because of the constraint. They're literally eating all the time. But we're not going through a spell of constraint. Perhaps Allah Ta'ala is disappointed with us. Therefore, we're not going through that constraint. So constraint is also sometimes out of love. Now we think of prosperity, money, and then more money. One doctor came here, specialist doctor came. Come now and then, everyone knows of him. I'm not going to take his name, right? So he's telling me, you know, I know he's very much loaded. So he comes and says, "Well, you want something? I'm going for Umrah. I'll buy something for you. What do you want? Tell me what you want." I said, "No, make dua for me. So now again, what is meant? So no, no, you make dua, if you got some spare time, make one tawaf for me. It's fourth, say for sawab. So sawab and sawab and sawab. Just sawab, just sawab, what else you want? So I turned around to him, and what you want? So you got so many millions, what else you want? I want more money. So you want money and money and money. I want sawab and sawab and sawab. You look at a different currency, I'm looking at a different currency. So what's the difference? I'm relating to this, you relate to something else. You continue to what you are relating to, and I will continue with what I'm relating to. I identify with something else, and you identify with something else. You continue your way, and let me continue my way. So you see this, Buzuganadin, so that the difficulty came, constraints came, because of their choice, not because it was lumped onto them, not because of that. Hazrat Shah Abdul Qadir Safarai Puri Rahmatullahi, he went to study. In that zamana when he went to study, there weren't much of this hostel, Darul Iqama, like how you have a place for children to stay. So what the students used to do in that zamana, they will live in masjids. Normally in India, the masjids got two small attached rooms. So what the students will opt for, they will clean the masjid and call the azan, and the masjid trustees will allow them that space to go and stay there. So they offer their service, or we do the azan, we'll keep the masjid clean, give us a place to sleep. Alright. Now, khane ka masla, what about the food? So he found out, alright, I need to do something for us to be, gonna be long here, 3, 4 years, 5 years studying. So we need to keep ourselves going. So he thought of a plan. So, alright, let's look around. I can do some khidmat for someone. So he found out that there was a regular musalli who was blind. And he wanted someone to escort him to the masjid. So he went to the blind person, I'll escort you to the masjid. The blind person said, alright, I will arrange your rotis. Right? You arrange for my coming to the masjid, and I will arrange for your rotis. So he's got two rotis just to escort the person to the masjid and back home. In a few days, another student comes around and he also wants to stay. So Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi tells the student, you know what, in Delhi there are so many masjids and nearly all of them are occupied. This is the only masjid that is not occupied. You stay with me, I'll do the work, but I'm getting two rotis, I will eat one and you have the other. پیٹ کو کاٹ کر کے دوسرے کو خوش کر دیا. پیٹ کو کاٹ کر کے دوسرے کو خوش کرتے ہیں. They eat half, یؤثرون علی انفسهم ولو کان بهم خصاصة. They go through a difficulty, let that person enjoy. He's also a student, one is also a student. But now, can I do this much also that I let him enjoy? I will do the work, I'll do the run around, and let him enjoy. So I will do the run, but you enjoy. In the meanwhile, the third student came in. So more times the same story, see, there's so many masjids, all have been taken over. This is just the one masjid that is left. So now he spoke to that person that he's escorting to the masjid. You see, I will prefer that you give me the atta, just the atta. Don't give me the baked bread. So he took that atta, soaked in water, added some salt, and now three of them are sharing that. That is the breakfast, lunch and supper. Now comes the winter, as I understand, Delhi comes very close to the Himalayas. So in the peak winter is around December, January, that's the peak winter, they call it Chilla. 40 days have a very severe winter. So in the peak winter now, he's got no blankets. So every masjid, up to the time when we were in India, up to that time what used to happen, they should have a baula, like a chula or some stove or something, and it heats the water, right? And you pull out the water from there and make your wuzu, right? It's so cold, you can't use the water, it's so cold, freezing cold. You have so many people dying in the winter there, right? So what Mullah would do in the winters, he will keep himself warm on the fireplace where they're heating the water. The Musallis also, they would keep their constraints so concealed to themselves, nobody will know about it. Nobody knows about it. Keep it to themselves. يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف. The one that doesn't know, he feels that he's well off. تعرفهم بسيمام. You may just make it out. يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء. See, some of the colors, what were the colors of these righteous people? Understand that, right? We got the ingredients, but did we get the color? We got the ingredients, but did we get that flavor? The mistake that we are doing is that we got the ingredients, we think we got everything. We just got the ingredients, we haven't got the color yet, we haven't got the flavor yet. So when you got that flavor, now your product will sell. You want to sell Islam. So you don't only need the ingredient, but with the flavor and with that color. Right. Now that Islam will sell, now people want to see, they get attracted to Islam. They taste it, they see the color, now they get attracted. But if they only see ingredients, you only see masala in a shop, will you get attracted? You only see rice, raw rice, will you get attracted? But now the person went through the mill, he understood the whole thing and made a pot of fish biryani, and you get that aroma as you're entering your home, then it's a different thing altogether, isn't it? You got the smell. As you enter your home, hey, I'm going to wipe the whole pot today. Nobody, I'm not going to share it with anybody. As you're entering. So the taste is a different thing, the flavor is a different thing, and the ingredient is a different thing altogether. This is a mistake we are making, that we feel we got the ingredient, we got everything. So now the winter comes, he's not showing his poverty to anybody. It was a different type of people. We think now, when we look at ourselves, compare ourselves to them, like we're living in a different planet. One saintly person, not very big buzruk, ordinary person, there's a knock on the door. So he opens the door, wife is gone for some work. Do khuda ke naam par, Allah Ta'ala barakat de. Give in the name of Allah Ta'ala, and may Allah Ta'ala bless you. Well, 3 weeks ago, in Springer Beach, we have it on a Thursday. Everybody comes, you know, to take the share. So now the woman, they keep fat and all that. Blacks, they like fat. So they'll accumulate the fat and all that. And they'll give them some meat, some fat, and they'll give it to them. So it's around my breakfast time. I just had breakfast and going to the room. So I'm hearing, I'm not going to give you again. The wife is telling, I'm not going to give you again. I'm going to hear the conversation. What happened? I asked the wife, what happened after that? Why you promised not to give her? What happened? So no, I gave her about 3 kilos of fat. I gave her. I told her, see, this mama here and you, both of you must take 1.5 kilo each. So this one year, I took the 3 kilos and ran away. Left nothing for this one year. So my family got angry. Said, I'm not going to give you anything. So after you gave her something, she said, no, I gave her, but I said, don't do this again. So what did she ever say? She said, no, much later, my ears were very sick that day. I couldn't hear. So this habit of giving, that habit of giving must carry on, must continue. Sometimes you don't need it, but someone else. Now we have that frame of mind, no, you're going to give them, ki aadatein kharab ho jayegi, this habits will spoil, etc. It's not right. Think to yourself, isn't Allah Ta'ala spoiling you? If Allah Ta'ala is spoiling you, right, then can't you be kind to His servants? Well, Allah gave you just according to your need, just according to nothing more. Will you be able to maintain yourself? He's giving you so much more than what you require. So when He's spoiling you, then be kind to His servants. Ahsin kama ahsan Allahu ilayk. So now the wife is gone for some work. There's a knock on the door. Someone is saying, "Do khuda ke naam par." The name of Allah, give something. So this person now, he sees that wife is making that atta, he takes that whole lump of atta and he gives it to that gharib, the poor person. Meanwhile, that person is gone, the wife comes in. What happened to that atta? I was supposed to put it onto the chula, onto the fire. No, it's gone for baking. See, I'm not kidding around with you, I'm serious about it. Where's that atta? You're keeping the rosa in Makkah now, 17 hour midsummer, and like a clever thing that you gave it away. What are you going to do for your iftar? A woman talk like that, so you mustn't get angry, right? I'll show you now, sometimes every small thing you take off of them, tit for tat. They'll talk, but they feel free to talk to you, so they'll shout you, they'll
You think to yourself, how much of your nonsense they don't take up. You're not a farishta, I'm sure. What of your nonsense they take? So, can't you take some of their problems? So much of their, of yours they bear, right? Or do this, I'm going to get some mehman, bring here, you late, you won't inform them. So many things you do, but they take you for your nonsense. Now one, two mistakes on that side, mustn't you take it in the same stride? So the wife is shouting, the buzrug now, yeah, you look at clever thing, you're going to give everything. Now, where are you going to find your iftar now? So he's saying, you know what, I'm not bothered about where I'm going to get the iftar, but I can't manage this. But I see a poor person coming out, and to send him empty hand, I can't do that. Anyway, they're having it out still, the husband is still catching it. In the meanwhile, there's another knock on the door. And as there's a knock on the door, one person brings about 10 loaves of bread. They were supposed to prepare one loaf, 10 loaves of bread, with tanuri roast, like, you know, you never see something like this. He said, no, I brought this for you. They know the person, they're not familiar with the person, he came and brought it. So he asked the wife, is your one loaf better than this 10? Tum ek paisa doge, wo 10 lakh dega. You give one, he'll give millions, he'll give. But have that yakin in him, that he will give. You will do and he will do for you. You will do for this and he will do for you. That's all Islam about. Show kindness. You know. They say, what is tasawuf? Tasawuf is not just pulling tasbih. No, tasawuf, pull tasbih. Musalla, tasbih. Tasawuf, juz khidmat khalqnest. It's not just about pulling tasbih and namaz. Now don't misconstrue. You must make namaz, do tasbih and Quran and everything. But that's not all Islam. Now you think the only Islam is pull tasbih and make namaz. Do this, but show kindness as well. Love, kindness. Wherever you need to show it, you show it. How are you going to show it? You can see now around us what's happening, what's going around, right? So we show that kindness. And how many people don't get attracted? No, this is true. One person was telling me that they had to go buy some animals, etc. So they had to attend the auction. At the auction now, they see perhaps about 40 minutes left for Maghrib namaz. They haven't performed the Asr namaz as yet. Now if you want to go for namaz, then perhaps they'll miss out the auction. Right? And they're going to stay for the auction, they'll miss out the Asr namaz. So they deliberate, he says, hey, forget the auction, whatever happens, happens, let's go for our namaz. So they stood up to go for namaz. So the one that is managing the auction, he says, where are you going to? No, we're going to perform our namaz, prayer. So the Englishman says, alright, that auction will stop it, will keep it on hold. Let these people go for namaz and come back. See, the truth, it has that asar, it has that effect. Do it sincerely for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And you'll see that your fortune won't go away. You think, I'm going to give it away, kya hoga, what's going to happen, etc. What's meant for you will definitely come. However, that white man, that Englishman, he made sure that he stops at auction until they perform the namaz and they came back. So now you complete. They're all watching how they perform namaz. Very impressed. And they only continue, only resume after this people come back. Rozi dene wala kon hai? Who gives rozi? We say it so much, but do we have that conviction that yaqeen that Allah will give? We will do and we will listen to Allah Ta'ala. Namaz time we'll do our namaz. Zikr time we'll do our zikr. Quran Sharif time we'll do our Quran Sharif tilawat. But with the yaqeen that Allah will do for us. Whatever we need to do, let us do it. And Allah in His time, in His way, Allah Ta'ala will do it. But do we show that respect? Do we show that yaqeen? Do we show that trust in Allah Ta'ala? As Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah gave an incident. He says, one person in Bombay, you get very big businesses, right? But this is that business they got, the front of it looks very shabby, very shoddy, right? But they're turning millions. Some many of them I know, but they're turning. But I don't know for what reason, but the front of his of this looks very shoddy. You won't see that they are wealthy people. But this man here is doing very big turnovers, but his habit, his routine is he only starts the Jummah business after the Jummah namaz, after he's already sunnah and he's fed his people and all that, everything is done, then he goes back to the business. Before the Jummah, is having his ghusl, coming early to the masjid, salat tasbih, surah kahf, whatever he needs to do, 3-4 hours before the Jummah, he's parking in the masjid. He starts off his business on a Friday only after the Jummah. Now he's doing business, got a big container of pins, but the pin came in without the head. Now the pin without the head, kya fayda, kis kaam ka? Can you sell the thing? I said, I'm stuck with this thing here. Now to send it back to my supplier, I need to get his address. Is he going to receive it? When I'm going to get that, it's a big job now. Still in the parishani, state of parishani. In the meanwhile, one person comes in, but he doesn't know him at all. You see, I want pins this size without heads. Take your price and give me the amount that you want, any amount. I'll give you double the price. Rozi bakhshne wala kaun hai bhai? See, that yaqeen, that conviction in the unseen. That yaqeen in the unseen, that Allah Pak will do. He does and He will do. Right? We spend according to our capacity, don't waste. All Allah Pak wants, enjoy yourself. Allah Pak don't enjoy. Enjoy yourself, eat well, dress well, right? Enjoy. But keep away from three things. Don't waste. Allah Pak doesn't like that. La yuhibbul musrifin. Allah Pak doesn't like those that waste. Don't be boastful and proud. La yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. Right. Boastful and pride, no, don't come near that. And number three is don't show off. So don't be boastful and proud, don't be wasteful, and don't show off. Otherwise enjoy yourself, eat nicely, drink nicely, live well, but don't waste. See, that barakah that goes away is because of this. Sometimes it is because, like I said at the beginning, we're moving away from the system of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak has designed the world in a certain way, now we're moving from the system. And sometimes because of this, either we're wasting, we're proud or arrogant, or otherwise we are showing off. Whether you can do it easily, simply we can do it, right? A little bit of a wealthy person, 50,000-60,000 then, you can do it nicely. Why 100,000 then? No, but if I don't do it to up to 1-2 million then, what will people say? Log kya kahegi? I must waste, I must do the deco and do this and do this, whatever, whatever. And then half of the money is wasted. Half of the food, you ask this caterers, they tell you, half of the food is wasted. Because the guests that are coming in, wealthy or not wealthy, the eyes are bigger than their stomachs. They're loading and they're loading, they can't eat it. It's left at its throne, everything is wasted. So don't, this wasting Allah Pak doesn't like. Nobody's saying don't eat, don't enjoy. Nobody's saying don't wear, don't dress correctly. Nobody's saying that. But don't waste. For the sake of Allah, don't waste. Sahaba Ikram's style was, they'll wear the cloth, until they have to put a patch or two, and then they'll give it out in sadaqah. Now, this thing is looking too old, you know. What do people say now, that 10 weddings are coming with the same dress, same kurta, same thing. What do people say? I have a different jacket for a different occasion, a different kurta for a different occasion. What do people say? It's a thing where we need to apply our brains, right? You got a worker in the shop, right? Will you praise that worker? He eats very well, man. Very, very well he eats. He can wipe 3 plates. And he plays soccer, you know, the break time, he plays soccer, he'll put everybody away. You'll be praising him for that. Or will you praise him for the production? It's so much of work he does. So Allah Ta'ala, will He praise us for the amount of money that we're accumulating? Or will He praise us because of the service that we're rendering to Him? The ibadat and the service that we're rendering. So, like that worker, you will not acknowledge him if he eats too well, and you will not praise him because he plays very good in the break time. Yes, you will acknowledge him for the service that is rendered to your business. So when this is the business of Allah Ta'ala, that you serve him, worship him with your heart and your soul and your mind, you service him, so he's not going to be happy with you, accumulating, and you're not showing that level of service. How is he going to be pleased? I'm showing you so much, and what level of service are you giving me? It's not adding up, not tying up. So we're talking about Shahab al-Qadr, some of Abu Zuhra'din, how they lived. So comes the winter season. So he's warming himself on that fireplace until that thing extinguishes, goes off. Now he comes to the masjid, it's still freezing. So in India, they use this chatais, you know, this straw mats. That's the musalla. So the whole night he will roll himself on that chatai from one end to the other end. This side to that side to this side. His head and the feet are catching the cold, but his body is a little bit warm. Right? The whole night is spent like this. But he said, I made a promise with Allah Ta'ala that I won't ask anybody for any favor. No matter what, I won't show my favor, I won't elude, I won't ask. I won't ask anybody. I won't ask him and I won't even allude towards it. Right? He said, for 1 year or 2 years, I went through that difficulty. After that, the gifts just start pouring in. Before the winters can come, someone is sending a blanket, a godru or something, you know. And it came so much that now, every winter, I have to go and give or look for someone, some of my friends, their children are getting married, take this as a present. Now when he went through that difficulty, then Allah Ta'ala gave him that type of students. Al-Mu'allim Asab Rahmatullah, he's his student, his murid. The whole world talks about him. Manzoor Numahi Sahib is his student again. But you see the difficulty that he went through, the patch that he went through. He kept his promise with Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala gave what chappar tor karke diya, gave so much and so much. These great giants and so much of servers of deen. Man is gone, but his business is continuing. How do you say that? He's gone, but the actual reason for us being here is to do this business. So the business is going on. The thrill is still rolling, still ringing. Now, our tabiat is working in reverse, the other way around. One man, he passed away, about 80, 85 years of age. So he passed away. So people went to his wife to offer condolence. The wife must be about 80 or so they went to offer the condolence. Taziyah, to offer condolence, some words of consolement, is a sunnah. So they went. So the wife is crying away, old lady is crying away. But auntie, now, don't cry like that. I said, it's right, I can get over the musibat. But he's got a massive dairy farm, you know, 1,000 cows he's got, milk giving. Now, who's going to take care of that? So one person that was offering that condolence from the crowds, you know, auntie, if I can't do that khidmat, who will do that khidmat? In the meanwhile, he's making it, he's working on his mind that, you see, for a liter, there are about 25 rands. 5 rands, I'll push it to the auntie, 20 rands, I'll take it for myself. He's working the whole thing, you know, how I'll work it out. She doesn't know about maths too much. So I'll take the 20 rands, 5 rands, I'll push it on her side, take care of that whole dairy farm. Alright, so, doodh ka masla to ho gaya. So she's still crying, she's continuously crying. Now, auntie, why are you crying now? That farm, we took control of your farm, what are you crying for? You got another 1,000 hectares, you know, it's got all farms, and all mangoes and other, he's doing a big business out of it, importing, or exporting, right? So who's going to take control of that? So this person again says, auntie, but if I'm not going to do this, who's going to do it? And he's still working it out, that this export quality, mangoes and whatever, I'll send it and, you know, the money I'll make out of it. Her sobbing and tearing went a little less, but she still continued. Now, auntie, what are you crying for? Your dairy farm is done. Your farming is done also. Now, what are you crying for now? Kis baat ke par tum roti ho? She said, everything is done. Everything is nice. Everything is right, right? But now, he left a debt of 100 million. What's going to happen for that? So now, he turns around to all those people that sat down there. He says, har baat pe mehi apne naam ko pesh karo. Aap log bhi kaho. Everything I must offer myself. What about you people? Can't you offer your names? So where it is to gain, we are there. But where we need to pay, see how we just turn around. Now that's a reflection of ourselves. Wherever there's something to make, and you see this new style, it's totally different, totally different. They're thinking different, they're working different, they're understanding different, they're seeing things differently. Allah give us that tawfiq, that we get that colors. That type of mentality, that type of colors. We're talking about Shahbul Ma'ali Sahib Rahmatullah and his achievement, what he's done. he's got one murid, that murid is called Shabi. He also became a big buzurg. When we were going through Punjab, so we went past his grave. We didn't stop there, we didn't have time, but we went past that place. The whole community, the whole people, thousands of kilometers, all became Muslim because of him. Now we think that these people didn't do anything. But you go and see the history, all these people that accepted Islam, that Hindus, because of these people's khidmat. But what difficulty they went through themselves. They went through the difficulty and worked. So like I say, that Islam has got that attraction. When it's got that attraction, it will shine out. Now look, those people that came as murids also, but see how committed they are. So he stationed at that time around the place called Ambala. And Shah Abul Ma'ali Sahib has got a program in Saharanpur. Saharanpur to Ambala is about 15 to 20 miles. It means about 30 kilometers, right? Now he's here in Saharanpur having programs and all that. So quietly he says to the host now, you know, that my sheikh will eat very well, but what about his wife and children? They're living there, they're in constraints. So can't you arrange something that I'll send the food across, I'll send it through. So Isha time he will see that the sheikh is at rest, he had his meals, sleeping nicely. He'll take the tiffin on foot, 250 years ago, on foot, he would travel at 30 kilometers, deliver the food, bring back the tiffin, and he's in good time to see that he had him at tahajjud, wuzu and all that. Now the sheikh is coming back home after 1 month, 2 months, whatever, and he says, I'm sorry, you know, I left you in this state here, not enough provisions. Oh, what are you talking about, no provisions? Our meals should come to us every day. How? The Shabi, your murid, he used to bring the meals up to us. Alright? So he says to his murid, you know what? Definitely you have affected my tawakkul. I trust in Allah that you have affected it. Baki tune murid ka haq ada kar diya. As a student, what you're supposed to be doing, you did that. You fulfilled the right. See? So the murid also is committed, the sheikh is also committed. Now, why won't you have the fire coming up? But there's a spark this side, there's a spark this side. You need a match and you need the strike. Thing to strike with. Then you get that inferno. But you only got the match or you only got the box and you want the fire to come out. So you need the both. But you see the hearts, their kindness, their love, their muhabbat. The hardest nuts to crack. The cracking, accepting Islam, coming in. And by the group droves they were coming in, thousands and thousands they were coming into Islam. Now, you look at them, that was their life, austerity, contentment. The little that we got, we're happy with this. So, the locals also made out, that these people are not after wealth. They're not after the material. The whole world is after material. They're not after material, they're after something else. Now, if we compare ourselves with a Hindu or a Christian, etc., I say, well, everybody after the same thing. You after money. What's the difference? You're running after the same thing, and in business you can sacrifice every principle. You can sacrifice women, men, everybody, all at the workplace, everybody. And the businessman will say, no, I'm creating jobs. Bishara, what they will do, these girls, what they will do? Bhai, tere dada ke zamane mein kya karte the? Your grandfather's time, what they should do? You should employ girls over there. They're running the businesses without these girls. So every scruple, every principle can be broken down just for material reasons. They are watching, the Hindus are watching, Christians are watching. Just put this before the cat, put this rat before the cat, and see how they all go mad, all go off the brains. So this values, Islamic values, kindness, values, hamari ghar ki cheeze, what was belong to our homes, bring it to the business. Now what's happening is the business is coming to the masjid. It's supposed to be the other way around. The masjid is supposed to be going to the business. Not the business comes to the masjid, but the masjid, the values, the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the principles that we abide by, the values that we live for, that must be transferred from the masjid to the business. The business don't bring it to the masjid. Allah Pak Tawfeeq Naseeb Kare.